Tonight's teaching, as Paul already mentioned earlier, is on Lesson 8, and this lesson is on moral. Before we dive into that, though, let's take a quick look at Principle 4 and Step 4. Principle 4, please read it with me, says, "Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust." And the verse that goes with that, "Happy are the pure in heart," Matthew 5:8. And Step 4, "We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves." And the verse for that, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord," Lamentations 3:40. 3 weeks ago, and it seems like it was only a year ago, Ron was here and taught us the first lesson in Principle 4, which is the sponsor lesson. We know from Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12, that two of us working together can defeat any enemy that would conquer one of us alone, and that we need to have sponsors and accountability partners to help us to, as the principle says, openly examine and confess our faults to ourselves, to God, and someone we trust. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves just yet. Tonight we're going to take an in-depth look at one word, moral, that should guide and govern our efforts to bring all of these long-hidden, often dust-covered, relics of truth out of our denial closets, or in my case, a denial museum, and start to really take a look at ourselves and what we've done. This lesson, as you will probably notice shortly, is deeply personal for me. A little backstory first, and maybe make this into a little teachimony. I came into recovery nearly 3 years ago thinking, knowing, that I had a problem with pornography. I think after 45 years of being consumed by it, it's pretty safe to say I had a problem with it. And through the grace of God, through this program, through my first step study, and many of the blessed souls who I've met along my personal road to recovery, I can today claim victory over that particular character defect. I had finally established a good and a growing relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I also, naively, thought that by eliminating pornography, I had solved all the problems in my life. Well, au contraire, mon frère, it quickly became evident to me and to the people closest to me that I was wrong. And yes, I said I was wrong. That took a lot of time. So then I set out on the road to recovery another time, this time hoping to find out how to achieve victory over codependency and financial irresponsibility, including a propensity I had to give money away for nefarious purposes without considering the need to save for the future or to properly provide for my family first. And during my second step study, I soon realized that what I had been doing was incredibly dishonest, immoral, and straight up wrong. But again, through the grace of God, this program, and many of you that I've met along the way, I was able to achieve victory over those character defects as well. Surely by this time I'd gotten to where I needed to be and was on firm footing in my life, my marriage, and my interpersonal relationships, right? Well, no. And don't call me Shirley. What had been missing all along was the last element that I had found that I had stuffed in my little denial closet, or museum as the case might be. I could not bring myself to tell the truth to my wife about our financial situation or about myself personally. And this past October, I got caught lying to her one too many times, which led us to a separation that may soon end up leading to a divorce. Only God knows at this point what's going to happen there, but the message to me was very, very clear. I needed to let go of this insane idea that I could lie to her or to anyone else whenever and about whatever I wanted. As a result, I entered a third step study a few months back in late October, and currently I am right in the middle of doing my inventory, which makes this lesson very well timed as well as being very personal for me. But I'm now more ready than I've ever been to maximize my growth, minimize my future pain, and get to the root cause of, as John Baker calls it, my truth decay. Oh, how our functional medicine doctors would be so happy to hear us looking at root causes. Well, working, or really working, Principle 4 is the point where the rubber really meets the road in our recovery. We have acknowledged by this point, and we've admitted that we can't, that's when we admitted the powerlessness, that God can, a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, and we think we'll let him consciously choose to commit our lives and will to Christ's care and control. And speaking for myself, I am so ready to finally do that. So how then, exactly, does someone in recovery for honesty and relationship issues stand before you and teach about doing a moral, meaning honest, inventory? Well, if you want to catch a jewel thief, who do you hire? A jewel thief. So if you want to learn about an honest inventory, who better to learn from than someone with a clear understanding of what it means to be dishonest? Well, the word moral itself comprises our acrostic for tonight, so let's take a look at that and see what it has to say to us about it. By now, we all know that our inventories have to be honest. Well, what's the point of taking the time and effort to do an inventory if it isn't honest? And they also have to be balanced, which means we have to look with equal intensity at both the good and the bad of our lives and how both of them have shaped us and the other people around us. Well, the first thing we need to do as we prepare to do our inventory is represented by the M in our acrostic tonight, and that stands for make time. Set aside a special time, preferably free of distractions to the best extent possible, get alone with God, and dive right in. In Job 33:33, we get good advice in this area where he writes, "Listen to me, keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom." Enough said. The next letter in our acrostic tonight, the O, stands for open. Just like our childhood dentists told us to open wide, and just as we know that our minds, like parachutes, function best when they're open, so now we must open ourselves wide enough to see past our denial museums and set our eyes on the real truth. And then we need to express that real truth. Again, we turn to Job in chapter 7, verse 11, where he writes, "Let me express my anguish. Let me be free to speak out of the bitterness of my soul." Freely speaking our real truth will allow us the unbridled joy and freedom to experience the promise we read about in John 8, verse 32. When we know the truth will set us free. If you find the idea of speaking your real truth to be intimidating or in any way difficult, start by asking yourself four basic questions. Number one, what do I feel guilty about? Rick Warren says that God uses guilt to intentionally correct us, that is, to convict us, through the Holy Spirit when we are wrong. Conviction, though, while it's painful, is not condemnation. Remember Romans 8:1? There is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So there's no reason at all for us to condemn ourselves just because we screwed up. In fact, if God sent his Son to redeem our sins, who are we to hold on to those sins? Let go and let God. Second question, what do I resent? Suppressing resentments is kind of like covering up, or would that be denying, a wound without healing it. Jeremiah 6:14 reminds us that you can't heal a wound by pretending it isn't there, and we can't shield things from the light of Jesus' undying love for us and expect to heal from our past at the same time. That really just doesn't work. John Baker likes to say this a different way. He says, failing to talk it out creatively leads us to act it out destructively. Question number three, what are my fears? What am I scared of? What am I intimidated by? And what am I afraid to address? In other words, what am I not real confident about taking a good hard look at and exposing to the light? Well, Joshua 1:9 takes a good look at this by reminding us that we should not be fearful or discouraged because the Lord our God is with us wherever we go, and including our denial closet. I'm also reminded of John 14:27, which tells us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." With that kind of support, like the song says, whom then shall I fear? Question number four. Am I trapped on my own pity pot, or trapped by alibis, compound lies, or trapped by dishonest actions, beliefs, or thoughts? Yeah, I was. And I was really afraid to bring things out into the light, despite the number of times and the number of ways that I had been reassured that it was safe to do so because of a fear of, well, something. But there is healing in the light of Jesus Christ, because he is always there for us, always. And the truth, his truth, never changes, even when or if our feelings do. These four questions are actually just the beginning of doing our inventories, but don't get discouraged. We have help in this effort. We really do. And that leads us to the next letter in the acrostic, the R, and that stands for rely. We heard about this 3 weeks ago when Ron was teaching, but our sponsors and accountability partners are on our roads to recovery to help us along the way, And, oh yeah, Jesus is always here too. I love this quote from John Baker. He says, if we get nervous and find that our knees are knocking, maybe it's a good time to kneel on them and rely on Jesus at the same time. It's worth a try. I haven't tried that yet. Isaiah 40, verse 29 tells us that Jesus gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And with his help, there is nothing we can't do. In fact, isn't that what Philippians 4, 13 says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things does include your inventory. One thing to remember, though, all the steps and all the principles are in the order that they're in for really good reasons. So completing principle 3, the process of turning our lives and our wills over to the care of God, is a very necessary prerequisite to working principle 4 successfully. Now, there's a lot of us out there, and you know who you are, who find ourselves intimidated, scared, afraid, or downright fearful of the very idea of taking a searching and fearless, moral, honest inventory and looking at our lives and our pasts under that kind of a detailed microscope. But we need not feel this way, because Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24 remind us to love the Lord, all of you who are his people, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to him. Cheer up, take courage if you are depending on the Lord. And remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but the feeling we acquire when we conquer our fear. The next letter in tonight's acrostic is the A, and that stands for analyze. And this is the point where we analyze our past honestly. A searching and fearless moral inventory is not something to be afraid of, but it does require us to fully and finally step out of denial. We cannot move beyond the denial of our past that has long shielded us from the truth of the present unless we face our faults honestly. Just like Luke Skywalker had to confront Vader in Star Wars, oh, I'm sorry if that's a spoiler for any of you, so also must we confront the dark side of our past in order to step into the light of the bright future that God has planned for us. In Proverbs 20:27, we also see a reminder that the Lord gave us mind and conscience, but we can't hide from ourselves, despite how long and how hard we have tried to do just that. Hiding from ourselves and remaining in the darkness of our denial only prolongs the time until we begin to experience the freedom and the healing that Jesus' light can and will bring to us once we surrender and once we really confront our own Darth Vaders. Let's take a look now at the last letter of tonight's acrostic, and that's the L. The L stands for a list. The process of taking our inventory is, indeed, making a list of the good and the bad, the positive and the negative, plus and the minus, the debits and the credits, you get the idea. Everything that made us who we are today. It is crucial, though, that our inventories be balanced. Because if you look only at the negative side, which some of us are prone to do, you'll get a distorted result. And distorting your inventory will only open yourself up to unnecessary pain. Remember Lamentations 3:40 we read a couple of minutes ago, which tells us to examine our ways and test them and let us returning to the Lord? Nowhere in there does it tell us to examine only our faults, only our negatives, or only our debits. Our pros make up just as much of a part of our past as our cons do. Therefore, they deserve equal billing. Failing to balance our inventory is also a fast-track way to get stuck in our recovery, or, worse yet, to give ourselves the impression that it would be better to go back to acting out, using, and returning to our old habits and hang-ups and hurts than to face what's sitting there right in front of us. You've certainly heard this before, and my guess is you're going to hear it again, but don't attempt to work this principle without a sponsor and or an accountability partner. These trusted allies are not there to do the work for you, but they are there to help you keep your inventory balanced and to encourage you and to support you. As we often say, the road to recovery is not meant to be traveled alone, and nowhere is this more apparent than while we do our inventory. Sharing the journey and drawing support and encouragement from those God has placed on the road with you is the essence of Celebrate Recovery. Now, if you're unsure of how to start organizing your inventory, and if you haven't been through a step study before, you will find a sample worksheet in the second step study participants guide, the one called Taking an Honest and a Spiritual Inventory, and it's this Celebrate Recovery Principle 4 Inventory Worksheet. Some people find it advantageous to start with a simple list of names. Just make a list of names. Remember the L? Remember the list? The names of the people you've hurt, the names of the people who've hurt you, the people you've helped, and the people who have helped you. Remember, keep it balanced, and then go from there. Whichever way you ultimately decide to do it, though, some of the best advice that I ever heard was to hear that there is only one wrong way to do an inventory, and that's not to do one at all. If by chance you happen to be new to recovery, or if perchance this is your first meeting, we are very glad that you're here, and we ask that you consider attending our CR 101 class right after this teaching and pick up a set of these step study guidebooks. Start with book one, Stepping Out of Denial into God's Grace, and take your first steps along this amazing journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This journey will lead you to freedom, to truth, and to a sense of serenity unlike any that you may have ever experienced before. Over the next 5 to 6 weeks, our next three teachings are going to continue to dive into the inventory process and will provide you with more tips, more tools, and more techniques that you can use to gain a great head start on working principle four to the best of your ability. Let's pray. Dear God, you know all our past, all the good and the bad things that we've done, and all the debits and credits on the ledger of our lives. In principle four, we ask that you give us the strength and the courage to list each one of them so that we can at last come clean, face them, and step into the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please help us to reach out to the others you have placed along our personal roads to recovery, and thank you for providing them to keep us balanced, motivated, focused, and encouraged as we do our inventories. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.